News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
The Oireachtas Committee on Justice is meeting today to discuss the current bail laws in Ireland and what, if any, reforms should be applied to them. And last year, Senior Counsel Lorcan Staines wrote a report with 15 recommended changes to those bail laws, and he joins us this morning. Lorcan, just looking at the recommended changes that you've made, some of them you would have thought would already be in place, like, for instance, electronic tagging.
Yes, Anton. In fact, electronic tagging has been on the statute books for about 18 years at this stage and has not yet been commenced, although I know that the current Minister for Justice has committed to so doing. But I suppose it's really a matter for the Department of Justice and the Cabinet in order to ensure that that legislation is commenced.
And in a similar vein, a house arrest would seem to be an obvious, relatively easy change that, again, doesn't function as a full-time alternative to being remanded to custody.
Yes, that was one of my recommendations. As far as I'm aware, that's never been included in any draft legislation, and it certainly hasn't been put forward in any actual past legislation. I felt that was a fairly good suggestion in the context of us having really an overwhelmed criminal justice system. And, you know, that's as a result, I suppose, of population growth, but it's also as a result of effectively better guard investigations, effectively crimes that would in the past perhaps not have been detected, now being detected, electronic evidence and so forth. So we do have a overwhelmed justice system. We do have overcrowded prisons. And therefore, we should be looking at alternatives to custody as much as possible, both in sentencing and in relation to bail. But there's some individuals, many individuals, who simply should not be on bail in light of their history and in light of the legal parameters that apply. And in those circumstances, house arrest is a potential option for some of those individuals, in that there's a risk in relation to the individual. They're not such a risk that they should necessarily be in custody. And in circumstances where effectively they may offer to stay indoors for 24 hours a day, that could be the alternative. So the other advantage to it is that it's effectively, there's no additional cost to it. In fact, there may even be a cost saving, which is obviously something that is taken into consideration by DEEPER and the Department of Finance as well. So, I mean, it's potentially something that is workable quite quickly.
Now, that one and a number of the others, like, for instance, You made recommendations in respect of wider bail conditions, like positive obligations for the accused, undertaking counselling, employment services, all the rest of it. How do you balance them with the presumption of innocence? Because presumably, if you're saying to somebody, I will allow you on bail if you agree to undertake counselling, at least by implication, there is an assumption of some form of guilt there, or there is something that needs to be remediated, which suggests you're not innocent.
Well, that's a very good question. You've hit the actual central nub of that issue. But I suppose a way around it is, often bail applications, you know, it's a two-way street. The prosecution are objecting, but then defence counsel will be saying, well, these are the factors as to why you should allow my client bail. And sometimes there is an admission in the context of that bail application that the individual in question has, you know, been part of a chaotic lifestyle or living a chaotic lifestyle. There may be references to drugs and alcohol. And so therefore, in circumstances where that's admitted, it doesn't necessarily go to the presumption of innocence in relation to the underlying offence. The other point might be, an applicant for bail may well give evidence in the course of the case, and the judge may get the view that there's underlying issues in terms of perhaps anger, or underlying issues in terms of lack of insight into just their own lifestyle, separate to the offence that they're alleged to have committed. And a judge may well say, look, I have concerns about X, Y, or Z, and I'm asking whether or not the applicant would be prepared to do these following conditions, such as counselling, such as drug addiction services, etc. And if the person turned around and said, well, I actually am willing to do that, it might tip the balance into granting the person bail. So while I take your point, it's an excellent point. I think in the context of individual cases, it's part of the toolbox that should be made available to a judge, in my view.
Now, one of the other recommendations that you make is in respect of domestic violence. And it seems extraordinary that it doesn't already apply, which is that domestic violence be classed as a serious offence, which means that you can refuse bail to those accused of it. Because, again, my inference is, as it now stands, somebody accused of domestic violence can be released on bail and put in a situation where they may have access to the person whom they are accused of having abused.
Yes, so we have to be ever so slightly careful of the phraseology domestic violence, because that is the overarching context of the offending in question. And if you have situations where there's allegations of assault or allegations of intimidation or allegations of coercive control and so forth, they would be separate and distinct offences. What I'm referring to there in relation to domestic violence is the breach of a barring order. And as you can imagine, Anton, a barring order may be put in place, which is obviously only put in place if there's a concern. And then there's an allegation of a breach of that barring order. So up to now, at least, the legislation has viewed that as the lowest possible offence that one can, or breach of a safety order, breach of a barring order, that at the lower end of quote-unquote domestic violence. But nonetheless, I have made the point that, well, in some circumstances, that could amount to a serious offence. In circumstances, perhaps, where you have allegations of repeated breaches of barring orders, which can obviously cause havoc for both the spouse or the partner, as well as a family. And in those circumstances, it should be made a serious offence. Now, the knock-on consequence of that is, if something is made a serious offence, i.e. having a maximum penalty of 5 years or more, that means it can be added to the schedule, and the exception to the rule in relation to bail not being used for preventative purposes is Section 2 of the Bail Act, which was brought in 1997, which will allow, in serious offences, an objection to be made on the basis that the person is likely to commit further serious offences. So I've suggested that breach of a barring order is one of those offences that now should be increased to a penalty of at least 5 years, and therefore added to the schedule. I've also pointed out that there's other offences that it's like a slight anomaly are not, even though they're already serious offences, they aren't included in the schedule. And those offences are forced marriage, coercive control. Now, forced marriage isn't that common, but coercive control is becoming very common, and that is not on the schedule. Intimidation of witnesses and jurors, that's not on the schedule. It's again, probably an anomaly. And then the final one is breaching the notification requirements of a sex offender. So that, as you know, in relation to sex offenders, is that there's certain conditions placed on them. So if they're going to spend more than, I think it's a number of nights away from their home, they have to notify the Gardaí. If they're leaving the jurisdiction, if they notify the Gardaí, they may be required to sign on and so forth. And you do have certain individuals who are repeatedly failing to comply and repeatedly being charged. Indeed. And there's an argument that in relation to those individuals, again, there should be that option of refusing them bail on the likelihood of them committing further serious offences.
And of course, there are other recommendations around the rights of the Gardaí and the capacity of the Gardaí to make choices around bail without necessarily referring to the courts, and issues pertaining to cash bail, all of which are in that report and all of which will be looked at by the Oireachtas Committee on Justice today. Lorcan, thank you very much for your time this morning. That is Lorcan Staines, who is Senior Counsel and author of that analysis.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.